Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Ephesians chapter 5. We continue our second week of Not Modern Family. And just as a disclaimer here from the very beginning, we don't do video sermons here at Eastview Christian Church. We don't think they're as powerful as the live experience. So if you're visiting today, sorry, this is a videotape. Let me tell you why we chose to do this. Because it's a pretty cool topic. Wives, submit to your husbands. So we're going to jump right into that in just a moment. If I were gone and JK were here, I'd let JK teach this because he's the mentor, he's the great preacher, and I'd let him tackle it. But he's with me in India. We're teaching 500 people over there, pastors, and having a great time. Pray for us. But then I could leave it to my younger pastors, but they're so newly into the wedding game, and one of them's single, so I didn't think it'd be good to have a single guy tell us about how to be married. And I've actually in the past considered and talked to some women in the church who are older and more mature and have experience with preaching and teaching, but they have declined because they just felt like they would rather not teach, especially on a topic like this. So that means that you're stuck with me on a video, and you know that I'm not afraid to preach the Word of God, and if it's not politically correct, that's okay. I'm not in politics. Plus, I figured that if some wives get upset with me after the sermon, I'm 10,000 miles away and you can't get to me. So that's a pause for laughter. Anyway, so honestly, I am excited about teaching today's topic because like last week's study, when we talk about husbands and their role in the marriage, I think our culture has got it completely wrong. I think we've messed up what God has intended to be a beautiful thing in the marriage. So we started this Not Modern Family series last week that says simply this: the Bible has a better way to do family. And I want to say just from the very beginning, I know there are exceptions. I know that some of you are single parents. I know that some of you have gone through hard divorces. You're in abusive situations. Those are the exceptions. My goal as the pastor is to teach us how we're supposed to be according as God designed it to be. And as I read the scripture, God designed for a husband and a wife and kids to be raised and learn in this nurturing environment, and that's the best place for us as a family. So it's not as modern as our family is portrayed in the show, Modern Family, but as God portrays it in the scripture. Now, we're calling it Not Modern Family for two reasons. Number one, we're going to read about the family from the first century. So this is 2,000-year-old family stuff. And although we'll find a lot of similarities, fathers, mothers, children, there are some family members we don't have, like slaves and like intergenerational kind of people living in our home. So that's a little bit different. The other thing is, as I said before, is that the culture that we're currently living in has messed up family. And so I always find it useful that when I read the Word of God and when I study the Word of God, I tend to go, if that doesn't sound right to my ears, there's probably something wrong with my ears. And that's what I'm asking you today, especially if you're a wife in here, you're going to be a wife someday. Would you just listen through ears that say, God, I'm open for you to teach me something today. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not a wife. I'm not a Christian wife, and therefore this sermon is a snoozer. I don't care. I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to check the scores on my iPhone. I hope you don't do that, because as we said last week, it may be more important to more people in this room than you think. I think these are the people that should listen to this sermon very closely. First of all, Christian wives, because, of course, you're a Christian, and you're a wife, and this is the Bible, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, to some degree, this is you learning how to be a better Christian. I think single Christian men should pay attention to this teaching, because at some point, you're going to want to marry a woman who is going to enter this wife role, and if you're going to be the Christian leader and love her as Christ loved the church, you're going to want a woman that understands this role. If you're a single Christian woman in here, and you want to be married someday, you should listen to this, because someday, you're going to have to decide whether you want to embrace this role that Paul describes for us in Ephesians 5 or not. And finally, if you're parents of little girls and you're raising little would-be wives someday, then this is your chance to ingrain in them an understanding of what it means to be a true Christian woman and then a true Christian wife. And so you'll notice that I didn't say anything about husbands. Husbands, you should be quiet when it comes to this verse. This is not a verse for you to quote to your wife. It's not something for you to remind them of from time to time, hint at, because you just need to focus on being the husband that loves your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to back up into verse 21 like I did last week when we talked about husbands, because I think it wraps it all together. He's talking about the body of Christ, giving thanks to the Father, singing together, fellowship. Verse 21 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's pray. God, I just pray that right now you would give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to hear your word, to not be afraid of it, but to trust it. And I just pray that you would change lives in here today, that you would change relationships. More than anything else, Lord, you know my heart in this series. I pray that you would strengthen the marriages in this room, that you would save the marriages that are getting ready to get broken, and that maybe just something that's said today will spur a husband and a wife on to a better marriage and to a better life together in you. So, Lord, I know you have a message for all of us today. I pray you speak particularly in grace and truth through this sermon. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Well, the role of wife is not easy, especially as we traditionally understand it. If you look back in the olden days, not the modern family that's portrayed today, but you go back to the Cleavers and June Cleaver, and you watch her, how the house was always supposed to be nice and tidy, and the dishes were always done, and the laundry was always done, the kids were always at the right place, the husband was always taken care of, super peaceful. And of course, that was the utopic view of what a wife was supposed to be, I suppose. But the reality of it is, it's a really hard job, especially some of the roles that get put on the wives in the household, and then add on that many wives work outside of the house. And so let's just start by saying this. As a husband, I understand very clearly that being a wife is not an easy thing. But I want to give you some, because many of you are aware that the Apostle Paul wrote this book, this letter to the Ephesians. And I want to do some myth busting about the Apostle Paul here from the very beginning. Because a lot of even strong Christian people go, well, the Apostle Paul, he's just a chauvinistic woman hater, and some of his personal attitudes seeped into his writings. I just want to remind you, the Apostle Paul was not as chauvinistic as you think, because he's the one that wrote this groundbreaking writing in the first century, Galatians 3:28, that said, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave or free. They're all one in Jesus Christ. Paul attributed to the woman in the first century something that no Roman ever did, and that was true full personhood. And not only that, but true full personhood in the religious system, which totally was not Jewish. And so, listen, Paul is a liberator of women, especially in the first century. So don't blow that off. It may not sound right to your 21st century ears, the stuff that he says about women and wives, but really, Paul was a liberator of women. And the other thing that I want to remind you of is that you just can't take stuff that Paul says and be inspired by it, and other stuff that you don't like and say, I don't like that part of Paul. There is a tendency sometimes to go, well, Paul is just putting his own bias in there. But the reality is, the Scripture says of itself that all Scripture is God-breathed. And so all of Paul's writings are God-breathed, or all of them aren't. You can't pick and choose. And so I just want to encourage you not to turn him off just because it's the Apostle Paul. The primary word for us to understand today, the role for wives in a Christian household and a Christian marriage, is this word submit. Now, in case you think that maybe this was women in Ephesus that Paul was writing here specifically in the book of Ephesians, or that this is some kind of Bible typo, well, it's not. Okay, because the Apostle Paul consistently uses this word when he talks about wives all through the New Testament. The first place, another place we see it is Colossians 3:18, where he says again, wives submit to your husbands. Titus 2:5, wives should be submissive to their own husbands. 1 Peter 3:1, wives be subject to your own husbands. So here we are. And I know and I understand, I've done enough weddings and I've talked to enough Christian women. We're stuck with this word submit. What does it mean? The Greek word literally means, it's this word that is hupo tasso. Hupo means under, tasso means to place or to put or arrange. So literally this word hupo tasso means to place under. What Paul is saying here is, wives, place yourselves under your husbands. And if you go down to verse 24, now as the church places themselves under Christ, so also wives should place themselves in everything to their husbands. And in verse 21, place yourselves under one another out of reverence for Jesus Christ. So that's the word, that's the understanding. And you might be saying to yourself, well, that's easy for you to say because you're a guy. And you're right, as much as I desire to pastor you with an open and non-biased teaching of the Word of God, I'm going to do something that I've never done before in 28 years. I'm going to invite my wife, Sarah, to join me here and to help me work through this verse some. Now, you know this. The best part of me is this lovely lady, my wife, Sarah, and she is the one that makes me who I am. I promise you that. Sarah is an awesome Christian wife, and that's why I've invited her to be a part of this today. And I'm not saying this just because it's on camera, okay? She is an awesome Christian wife. She doesn't have the gift of preaching. And so this is a stretch for her. And we've been praying for her and talking through this together. So I'm just going to kind of ask you some questions to start off with. First of all, you're excited about this for what reason? I mean, this is a passion.
I think we both share the same passion of strong marriages, and we both put a very high bar on marriages. And so if somehow I can influence women to seek a stronger marriage, I'm all there.
Okay, all right, so here we are. So I told Sarah I'm gonna ask her three questions. I give her all kinds of lectures about how long she should go because I'm the professional preacher. Don't try this at home. I hope you're laughing. I'm just joking. So Sarah, let me start off with this question. The word is submit.
Right.
And you're a woman and you were raised in the 20th century, now it's the 21st century. Why do you think this word submit, this is right here in the Bible, you can't deny it, why is it so difficult for a woman to hear? What do you think's the pushback on that?
Well, I think historically, some misguided men in history mm-hmm. have said this to put women down.
To suppress, yeah,
and
right.
I think there's a little bit of that that still rises up in a woman's heart when she hears this submit. But I also think we live in an age where women are very capable. We can be just as good a leaders as men. We are just as intelligent as men.
Just as educated.
Exactly.
All the stuff that men do, right.
And I think the one area you might be able to say no is we don't have the strength, but that in athletics, in business world, in education, financially, a woman is just as capable as a man.
Okay, so that feels weird to hear, okay, I can do everything you can do, I can do better.
I can do better.
and I'm smarter than you.
Right.
And I make more money, and all this stuff.
Right.
And now the Bible says to submit. So
right.
here's the question then. How do you, because again, I'm going to brag on her. Sarah's a smart woman. She graduated higher in the class than I did. She graduated and she's held jobs. She's been leader for all the years I've known you. So how do you understand this word submit as a Christian wife? Why is it that you can go, okay, I can embrace this?
Well, and I think when we talk to ladies getting married, we mm-hmm. always say this. I think first and foremost, and when you read the passage, it is an obedience word. We are commanded to submit. But for me—
So that's your Christian side.
Right.
Okay.
The practical
world Christian,
side—
The world side says—
It's a choice word.
Right.
It's totally a choice word that I am giving to you. This is not a command word from the man to the woman.
Correct.
This is totally a command word from God to women, but it becomes a choice word. And basically, for me, it is above every other man in the world. Mm-hmm. I chose you because I trusted you. So for me, it's much more of a trust word
yeah.
that I trusted you enough to be my protector, to nurture me, to cherish me.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that trust, I'm giving this attitude to you because of that trust that I know that you're going to protect me emotionally, physically.
She's stealing my sermon right now,
mentally.
By the way.
Mentally. I'm on a roll now.
This is what
I'm
she
preaching.
Thought. Yeah, she's going to take over. Yeah.
But it's a trust word. It's a choice word. It becomes less about obedience than I trust you enough to give you this part of my life.
Right.
And as that example.
So the bottom line is, if you choose it, it doesn't
yep.
seem that offensive.
Right.
Right. So let me ask you this. How do you think men and women work together best?
Well,
why do you think the respect or the submit thing works
right.
in a marriage?
Well, and I know we both read some time ago the book by Edrin Egrix of Love and Respect.
Right. Great book.
Had a profound effect on my life and yours.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe with all my heart God has given a man a role and a woman a role.
Mm-hmm.
And within our human nature is wrapped up this whole love and respect. That a woman desperately wants to be loved mm-hmm. and a man desperately wants to be respected. And yet
we fight against those things.
Right, has to give the other
right.
one the thing that you want, but that's not
but
feeding your nature.
The other one's not promised in return
right.
necessarily.
Right.
So
and
that's
so
why the perfect marriage is worked out that way.
If I respect you
right.
the way I should, then you're gonna love me the way that I want. And I know we've talked about this too, the whole example thing, that within a Christian marriage, if it's functioning well, that's a great example to your children first, to the people that you're around. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more powerful than anything, is what this love, respect, and for a woman submitting allows her children to see, both the boys and the girls, and how the father, who should be the leader of the family, mm-hmm. is viewed then as the boys learn to be fathers and husbands,
right.
and the
right.
girls learn to be loved by men.
Okay, so the cool thing is we have the perfect marriage. I'm always loving to her and she's always always submissive
not
to
quite,
me. It's always, sometimes I have to say to her, in some circles I'm known to be a leader, and then she usually says, not in this circle. So love you, sweetheart. Thanks for coming over here. Appreciate it. Okay, so with all that said, I hope that's helpful to those of you who are Christian wives and those of you who want to hear it from a woman's voice. I think that, that helps us immensely head into this next part of what we're looking at here. Because what I want to do, with all that said, I want to get to the implications of this word submit for wives in this culture. And simply, I want to lay it out this way. There are four reasons that Christian wives should embrace this submission attitude. Now, just let me say before I start here, if you're not a Christian, there's nothing in this book that's going to compel you to act a certain way. Okay, so if you're visiting today, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not a God believer, or you don't believe the Bible's true, I'm not shoving this down your throat saying you're wrong, you should do it this way. First comes lordship to Jesus Christ. Then we start going, okay, how do I live as I follow Him? Okay, so that's first and foremost. These are embracing rules for Christian wives who want to be the kind of wife that Paul describes here in Ephesians 5. By the way, Ephesians 5 is the only place in the Bible that really gives us true insight in a long form how a wife and a husband should act in a Christian marriage. So we got to pay attention to this text, all right? Well, first of all, here's the first reason Christian wives should embrace submission. Number one, you get to choose this role. You get to choose it. It's not forced on you. This is not a teaching. You notice the teaching here doesn't say women submit to men as to the Lord. It says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord. This is a teaching that says in that relationship, your role as a wife is to submit. And so you don't have to submit. You don't have to get married. You don't have to bring a man into your life. And many people these days have decided to put off marriage longer because they want careers and they want different pursuits in life. And that's fine. There's nothing anti-biblical about that. Okay? So first of all, I just want you to know this is a choice word. Men, I want to remind you, this is not a verse to quote to your wife. You're not going to make your wife more submissive by reminding her that the Bible says she should be more submissive. Usually when a man comes to me and says, hey, my wife's not submitting to me, what am I supposed to do? I usually look at him and say, you must not be loving her like Christ loved the church. Because the more more I understand Christ's love for me, the easier it is for me to submit to Him. Husbands, make it easy. Okay? If you're a young lady in here and you're dating seriously and you can't say, I respect this man and I want to submit and come under his leadership and his strength and his protection, then here's what I should say. This is your senior pastor. Break up with him. Okay? Part of my prayer for the day is that there will be several breakups from people who are dating. Because frankly, some of you are dating guys who are not the kind of guys you want to follow. They're not the guys that are going to lead you to Christ, especially if they're not followers of Jesus Christ. Single men in here, if you want a woman to say, I trust in your strength and I depend on your leadership and I think that you're good enough for me to follow, then be that guy. Sometimes you men complain about, and I've been in this category too, you complain about how wives won't submit and how my wife won't follow me, or young men who are dating, there's no good women out there. Well, maybe you're not a good guy. Think about what God's calling you to. Become a great man so that when you find a woman to go with that vision that God's given you in your life, you can call her into partnership with you. And now you're someone who's going somewhere for God, and she can get behind that and she can support that. Wives and husbands who are parenting little girls, I just want to say this, and I'll get to this a little bit later. You're the model. Dad, you are the model for that girl. She's going to grow up and want to marry a guy like you. And moms, you are the model for that little girl. She's going to want to grow up and be the mom that you are and the wife that you are. So I'm telling you, the implications are far flung when it comes to the kind of marriages we have and that we model for our children. But that leads me to number two, the second reason that a Christian wife can embrace this word, submit. And this is maybe a little, as I talked with Sarah about this, It may sound a little self-serving, but I still think the scripture teaches us, and I think it's to be a reality. If you learn to submit Christian wives to your husband, you're going to get a better Christian husband. I really believe this with all my heart, that the most spiritually significant thing you can do for a man is to help him have strength to lead. It just makes a man feel special when someone needs his strength and his leadership and his ability to go, hey, I'll take charge and I'll lead us out of this and I'll pray. And it goes down to, this is a funny illustration, but I think it's so true. Sometimes men feel the greatest in their own house when their wife comes to them and says, hey, I can't open this jar. Would you open it? Believe it or not, that's a thrill for a guy, because a guy gets to say, well, yes, little lady, you can't do the dill pickle jar, but I can. Look at this manly strength. And that's silly, and I'm taking it down to the lowest basis level. But the reality of it is, when you ask a man to do something that you can't do, that relies on his strength and his ability, that is a major moment for him. It makes him feel like, maybe I can be strong. Maybe I can be that person. I want you to look at this phrase in verse 23. We've read it before, but I want you to see it again. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment, because I think a lot of times, and Sarah and I have talked extensively about this, she likes being in charge, and she likes giving opinions, and she likes having her way, just like any human being does. But when it comes down to it, in some of the toughest decisions of our marriage, of our 29 years together, there's been times where she said, I'm glad I'm not in charge. I can say this as the pastor of a church. There are times where I go, I wish I wasn't the leader of this church, along with my fellow elders. I wish that I didn't have that responsibility. And so with that head, the head of the body, obviously, let me just be real specific here and real, real obvious. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 paints the picture of the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, and these body parts functioning, but the head is the one that leads. The head has deep concern for the body, because whatever happens to the body is going to affect the brain's going to have the pain waves, the brain's going to deal with the consequences, the emotional. So it has love for every part of the body, the head only. Okay? The head is the one that gives the body direction and tells it where to go, leads it. The head is watching out for the body, serving the body, making sure all the messages go to the right places and make the body function. Now, that's a really simplistic thing, but let's just think if it didn't work that way. If the head were to say, hey, we're getting close to the edge of this deep chasm, but I'm just going to let the legs keep walking. I'm not telling them. Well, that's not going to be good for any part of the body, and the head knows it, so the head sends warning signals. Or if a baseball is flying right at my nose, the head says, okay, I'm going to duck now. Because if I don't, we're all going to experience pain. We're all going to be focused on this terrible thing that's happened. As Christians, I think it's the same thing in our Christian walk. I don't think it's easy for a wife to submit to a Christian husband. I'm just going to say it. And I don't think it's easy for us as Christians to submit to Jesus Christ as the head, as this is the example that's given here. Would you say in this place today, would you say that it's easy to obey everything Jesus tells you to do? Or would you say that it's easy just to keep going in the direction that Jesus tells you to go when you can't see how it's going to turn out? And I think the answer is overwhelmingly no. You can't. It's not easy. So why do you follow Jesus? Why do you submit to the head of the body? Because you know that He has your best interest in mind. You know that He loves you. You know that He died for you. You know that He serves you by the movement of His Holy Spirit in you. And so you submit to Christ. On our good days as Christians, we submit to Christ because we trust where that head of our body is leading us. He has loved us more than anybody else. He has our best interest in mind, and He will help us get to where we're going. And so that makes it easiest for us to submit. And I want you to understand something. When most men, and I'm included in this, and I'm high on the leadership scale. I don't mind leading. I don't mind being in charge. You guys probably get that. But when I read this, there's a part of me that goes, am I good enough for her to submit to? Because I think for all the machismo and the manly vibrato and the hunting and the fishing and the weightlifting and the grunting and the flexing and the corporate success and the athletic prowess and the power tools and the titles and the trophies and the loud cars, behind all of that is still a little boy that wonders, am I good enough? And am I strong enough? How do I measure up with other men, particularly my father at first and then other men? And what do people think about me? Now, you can just say, well, that's stupid and men shouldn't feel that way, but that's the way God created us. And so the question becomes then, can you as a Christian sister, now take yourself out of husband and wife role, can a Christian sister say to a Christian man, yes, you are capable of leading. I trust you and I see Jesus leading you. And I've said this before, I don't agree with everything that was written by John Eldridge in Wild at Heart, but it resonated with my man heart. I don't necessarily think that Duck Dynasty is the most profound television on TV, but I watch it, and you have to ask yourself this question. You may not like Duck Dynasty, and you may not like Wild at Heart, but you do have to ask yourself this question. Why do millions of men love it? And part of it is because they see in those images and in those words in that book an image of the man that they really want to be, and they're not sure if they are or not. And Sarah and I were talking about this and simply talking about our journey of 29 years. And I told her, I said, Sarah, when I was 20 years old, we got married. When I was 20, I was a sophomore in college, and I knew one thing. I wanted to be a preacher, and that's all I knew. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know where I was going to preach. I had no idea. But early in our marriage, and Sarah didn't even remember much of this, she was the one that believed God was going to do good things in us. And she believed that I was going to be used that way. And so as I think about our marriage, I will tell you, this is my personal testimony, take it or leave it, but it's my truth, okay? It's my reality because it's how we've lived our life. Sarah has made me a better person. I'm the preacher at Eastview Christian Church today because my wife, Sarah, has said, I will trust your leadership and I cheer on your leadership and I will follow you. And so that's something to consider. You can make your husband a better Christian man. If you don't like him, submit him into greatness. Make him better by the way that you respond to him. I will say one more thing that's very personal again. Several years ago when Sarah and I read the book, Love and Respect, it struck her. Not so much in the woman part. She knew that women love to be loved and cherished. And hopefully I didn't have too many things to grow in that area. You know, hopefully she's been loved well. But she took to heart for her sons, for our two teenage boys at the time, Mikey and Caleb. And she wrote them extensive letters on a card about the things she respected in them. I respect you for, and she listed like 20 or 30 things. I'm telling you, I was moved when I found that she did it. And I was going, I wish you would have written me one. But then on top of that, what was really moving, about 6 or 7 months later, by chance, in both boys' bedrooms, I found these cards in prominent places, posted where they could see them every day. And that alone should be the illustration for you that says, oh, I can do that for a Christian man. I can help him feel that he is worthy to be a leader and that he is useful in the kingdom of God. And I think that's something that only a wife can do. I don't think there's very many other relationships that can really make that happen. Now, listen, if you're married to a non-believer, some people might say, well, how do I submit to a guy who's not a follower of Jesus Christ? And some of you in here, unfortunately, are married. And first of all, let me just say this. If you're a single woman, don't date and don't marry a non-Christian. And you might think that that's harsh and callous. I'm sorry. I'm just saving you heartache 10 years from now. Because eventually, two people who are not dedicated to the same thing will eventually conflict and they will eventually separate. So don't date a guy who's not a Christian. Some of you have, and you've married non-Christians. Maybe you became a Christian later in life. 1 Peter 3:1 says it this way, and I'll just leave it here. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. You have great influence over men. And you can even direct men spiritually, growing in their faith or coming to the faith by the way that you treat them in marriage. Well, let's move on. Number three is you can have a better marriage and the marriages of your children will be better. I was reading these statistics from the American Psychological Association. It says this on their webpage. In Western cultures, more than 90% of people marry by age 50. So 90% of people, by the time they're 50, are going to be married. All right? Healthy marriages, now listen to this. This is the American Psychological Association, not the Bible. Psychologists. Healthy marriages are good for couples' mental and physical health. They're also good for their children. Growing up in a happy home protects children from mental, physical, educational, and social problems. However, 40 to 50% of married couples in America are divorced. And then the divorce rate for subsequent marriages are even higher. And the reality is that if you get a divorce, you up the rate of your children getting divorced. Now, let's think about this. You have this little baby. You bring them home, you teach them to walk, you feed them, you rock them, you sweat through all those tough nights together, you teach them how to ride a bike, you send them off to kindergarten, they go to school, you pray for them, you help them with their homework, even when you don't understand it, and they go off to college and you help pay for that, you buy them a car, you treat them with, you give them everything you possibly can, they meet another person, you go to their wedding, you throw a wedding, you spend tons of hours and tons of prayers, tons of money on this individual, and then someday they come to you and go, hey, I'm going to leave my wife, or I'm going to leave my husband. That's not the dream that we're all looking for. That's not what we dream for. And here's a simple solution that can help you not have that situation arise. And that is stay in a healthy marriage and create a healthy marriage so that your kids see that. Don't get divorced. I just want to say this over and over again. Don't get divorced. Work at it. Don't give up on it. Fix it. Get better at it. We've mentioned the book by Edrin Egricks, Love and Respect. Our counselor, Sarah, our pastor of counseling on staff, Sarah, would recommend The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller. Both of those are in our bookstore. Go get them today. Work through them together. Husbands, lead the way. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Go to Christian counseling. No matter what your marriage is today, I promise you, Jesus can fix it. And this body of believers is here to help you fix it. Don't give up on your marriage. Your kids will see it. And later in your old age, when you watch them celebrate their 25th or 30th wedding anniversary, you'll be so glad you didn't walk out on each other. Be so glad that you didn't quit like everybody else in our culture is. Now, married women in here, I'm not asking you to stay in an abusive situation. I don't think God wants you to stay in an abusive situation. Get out of that. Save yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, however that's going down. Find another place to be until your husband figures life out. But even in that situation, I would say pray for him and ask God to change his life so that you can have a marriage that lasts. Well, finally, let's get to this, maybe the coolest point of all for submission. Why you as a Christian wife can embrace this is because you can be most like Jesus when you embrace submission. This word submit is found in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Remember, Jesus has been to the temple. He's 12 years old. His parents found him. They were worried about him. Finally, he got back in the family train heading north, and he makes his way to Nazareth. And Luke 2:51 says this word, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them." Hupotasso. He placed himself under Mary and Joseph. Now, think of the implications of this. He made Mary and Joseph. He was the creator. He was smarter. The only teenager in the whole world, the history of the world, who was smarter than his parents, really did know more than his parents, Jesus. He knew when they were making mistakes. He could have healed many of their issues. He could have counseled many of their problems. But he decided, I am going to place myself as their 12-year-old earthly son under Joseph. Joseph was not a perfect man, but perfect Jesus submitted to imperfect Joseph. And I think if you pay attention to that, if Jesus can submit to Mary and Joseph, then you and I can submit to one another. I want to remind you again, that's what verse 21 says here, that the whole body of us, Christian wives and Christian husbands, you're not only husband and wife, you're brother and sister, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because Christ submits, then we find ourselves in this position of Christianity where we submit to one another. And wives, you just get to be a part of that in the role that is marriage as a Christian woman. Finally, let me say this. How low would Jesus go in his submission? He would go so low as the cross. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that Jesus became obedient. How obedient? Even death, death on a cross. So no matter how low you think it is to say, I'm going to submit, I'm going to put myself under this Yahoo that doesn't know what he's doing, this guy that is not that smart, and I don't know if he's always leading well. Just think about Jesus placing himself under me and you so that you and I could be saved from our sins. Think of that. And then maybe just be inspired and ask God for the strength to be like Christ when it's hard. Now, as we said last week in marriage, someone always has to take the first step. Someone always has to give in. Someone has to say, I'm sorry first. Someone has to change first. Someone has to say, I'll be who God wants me to be first. I pray that after last Sunday, it's you husbands. You said, I'll be the first one. I'll love as Christ loved the church. But wives, if you're in here and that hasn't happened in your marriage, then you take the first step. You be the one to say, hey, you know what? It's not the way I want it to be, and I don't know that I'm always loved the way I should be. I don't know I'm led the way I should be and protected, but I'll submit. I'll make my husband a better person by the way that I love him and treat him. Your husband may not be who you wish him to be, but you can't nag him into it. It's like asking him to stop and ask for directions when he's lost. But you can, however, decide to be a woman as Scripture directs it and describes it, and it's your choice. Today you can embrace it or not. I'd like to lead us in a prayer like I did last week just for our marriages. So if you're a married person in here, or you're close to married, would you just hold your hands open and let's just let me pray over you this prayer of blessing on your marriage. God, I pray that you would bring healing, that you would bring renewal, that you bring refreshment to every married couple who has their hands open right now. For those who are engaged and getting ready to get married, I pray, Father, that you would help us as Christian men to love our wives deeply as Christ loved the church in a sacrificial way. And I pray that you would help wives just learn this submission thing that doesn't seem natural, but really is just an expression of love. And so, God, would you help us take on these roles you've designed for us? We don't always understand them. We may not even like them. But would you help us be like our Savior, Jesus Christ, and learn to submit to each other because of what you've done for us by your submission? It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.